Hey, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. That's where we're going to start tonight. And look at verse 3. We're going to read verse 3 down through verse 6. It says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Let's go in God's word of prayer tonight, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, and Lord, I know there's some folks that can't make it tonight, and so they're listening in, and I just ask this message would be a blessing to them. God, put Jason Dunbar off to the side and make sure that you get the glory and you get the honor in this message, God. Give me the right words to say that I may be an encouragement and a blessing to the folks here and those that are out in the airways. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's set the scene here, all right? We've just read a few verses, but there's some stuff that takes place previous, all right? First of all, David has been living with the Philistines for probably about a year now. He's trying to get away from Saul. Saul has been hunting his head for quite a while. He's run all over the countryside, and he finally just decided, you know what? Let's go into the enemy territory. Saul's not going to go after me in there. And so he's been living in Ziklag. And he and his troop have that's their home base. But one of the things they're doing that the Philistines don't know about is they're going in and conquering other areas that are Philistines and getting that land to Israel. But when he talks to the Philistine king, he talks about how he's defeated Judah here and defeated Israel here, and I took out this city, and he thinks he's getting victory for them. And so the Philistines decide, hey, we're going to go fight Israel, and they bring everybody along, and they bring David and his men. I mean, hey, why wouldn't you bring David and his men? I mean, if you read about David's mighty men, that small core of guys, man, those are some fighters. Those are some warriors. You want those guys on your side. Well, the Philistine generals go to their king, and they're like, we don't like that David is going to battle with us. What happens if in the middle of the battle he decides that he wants to join back with Saul and maybe get in Saul's good graces and turn against us? Now, we don't actually see that that was David's plan, but I personally think that was David's plan. I think that he was going to go to battle, and he thought, hey, when it really gets tough, I'm not going to kill my own countrymen. I'm going to turn against the Philistines, and we can get some victory here. We can destroy the Philistines once and for all. Maybe I'll get in Saul's good graces. I personally think that was David's mindset. But we don't actually get to, you know, God doesn't disclose that to us. But the Philistine generals, they thought that would happen. And so they said, hey, send him back home. And so David is coming back home in verse 30. He and his men, they're getting back to Ziklag. They were going to fight. And maybe David was thinking, man, we could have gotten a victory, but now I don't know what's going to happen to Israel. And really, the end of that story with that battle is Israel loses, Saul ends up getting killed, Jonathan ends up getting killed, they have no king now, and the Philistines just feel mighty against Israel. Well, here David and his men are coming to Ziklag, and they crest over that hill, and they look down into Ziklag, and it's smoking. And it's not the kind of smoke that, oh, it's supper time. It's been burnt. And I'm sure the men are, you know, their hearts sink. David's heart sink. They run down into the city hoping to find maybe there's somebody still alive. And it's desolate. There's nobody there. Everything is gone. None of their, you know, all their cattle is gone. All their goods are gone. It's empty. And now you say, well, we know the rest of the story. We can see where. Yeah, but they did not know where they were. They don't know where their wives are. They don't know where their children are. They don't know if they're even alive. And so men are getting discouraged. They're getting down. And one thing I've noticed, and I, really this year I've noticed it a lot. When people start to have problems come into their life, they want to blame somebody. Now, we never want to put the blame on ourselves, right? But especially when it's, I had no control over the situation, then you really want to put the blame on somebody. And so David's men are sitting here going, hey, I didn't have a choice in the matter. I was just following David. And all of a sudden, it's starting to get, David is why this happened. David is why all our children are gone. David is why we don't have any stuff. David is why my wife is missing. These were faithful men, right? And now they're looking at, they're going to stone him. Verse 6, for the people spake of stoning him. Some of these fellows were looking for rocks going, that's a pretty good one. Come on, David. And look, these guys know how to throw a stone. All right, if you look at David's mighty men, they, within a hair's breadth, they can fling a stone. They know what they're doing. If they start throwing, David's dead. So they don't know what to do. Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord at this point. How did he do that? Did he have one of these? Nope. Maybe by chance he had a portion of Scripture, right? You know, Genesis is written, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua's probably written, Judges. But I highly doubt he had any of those portions of Scripture. It was a rare commodity to actually have a piece of Scripture. All right, we have the printed word so readily available to us. So he didn't have a Bible to go to. He didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling in him yet. Well, we get that. We get the Comforter. The Comforter didn't come until after Christ left. So what did David do? We're going to look at, I got three things that I think David did to encourage himself in the Lord. That, you know what, we can take those things ourselves. Look, we got a Bible we can get into, and I encourage everybody, get in your Bible and read it. It's going to encourage you. All right? But that's not one of the things we're going to look at. I encourage everybody, hey, we got Bible reading schedules out there. Try to be daily in your Bible. Hey, God gave it to you. All right? I've heard different ways of, you know, what is the Bible? You know, you can take Bible and make an acronym. You know, believer's instruction before leaving earth. You know, I've heard that. There's other things. And we have the Holy Spirit in us at all times, all right? But I got three things that I think David did that, hey, we need to do. First of all, look at verse 7 and 8. It says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David prayed. Now, I think even before this little portion right here, all right, they had the ephod. That was a way of really getting in touch with God. I think David, even before then, was going, oh, Lord, I need some help here. He knew he could just reach out to his Heavenly Father, all right? But David prayed. Look, that's one of the first things we should be doing. I find it, I don't know why we as humans think, you know, that's not the first thing that comes to mind often is to pray, unless we're in really dire straits. But it really should be the first thing going right to God and saying, God, I need help. Because, man, when you're down, the devil's, he's going to bring all these thoughts in to try to bring you down even further. His goal is, hey, I'm going to try and take you away from God. And God wants you to get closer to him. And prayer, man, that prayer will get us closer to God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 is just before verse 18. We're going to look at verse 18. It gives us the armor of God. And I believe 18 is part of it. And in 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why are we to pray? Well, look back at 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an enemy that his goal, he's going to try to tear you down. He's going to try to pull you away from God. The wiles of the devil. Your flesh can't resist that. You need help from God to be able to resist the wiles of the devil. So prayer is one of the ways we can do that. Go to God and intercede and say, Lord, I need your help today. I need your help right now. So that you can resist those wiles. And then, man, we don't fight with flesh and blood. I mean, some people try to, but it's that person is not really your enemy. The guy you work next to is not necessarily your enemy. Look, if they're a child of the devil, they're going to work against you because they're going to do what their father wants them to do. And it's really their father that you're fighting, and we need to try to, hey, yeah, they can be a problem. I remember just some of the guys I've mentioned to my wife today, you know, there were some guys who just, wow, they were hard to work with. And I had to remind myself, they're lost. They're fighting their own flesh, and they're just giving in to their own flesh. And so, of course, they're going to be that way. And their spirit is not going to be with my spirit. Because I got the Holy Spirit, and their spirit is towards the devil. So it's the rulers in the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're fighting. You know, we need God's help. We've got to go to Him. That's why it's important to pray always. And it says with supplication. You know what that is? Asking, God, please, I need help. Maybe even begging. I need help. So when we pray, look, we ask for God to help us. Ask Him to help you. David, when he needed help, he's about to be stoned by his men. That was a good time to be like, Lord, can I get some help, please? They're starting to pick some stones out, and I need some help. Don't let them get any further than this. They're talking about it. I don't want to get it past the discussion point. But then we also need to pray for others. Look at the end of verse 18. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, we need to, don't just pray for ourselves. Pray for the rest of our church family. Look, if especially this past year, look, we were if you were going through something, I'm sure your fellow Christian, fellow brother, fellow sister in the Lord at church, they're going through something. And so it's good to not just, yeah, you need to pray for yourself because, hey, you need to go to God and say, Lord, I need this help. But it's good to pray for one another. Say, Lord, be with this person. Be with this person. Not just when they're sick, but even when they're in good health. Hey, the same temptation that's coming across and trying to get you, that same, you know, the wiles of the devil, is trying to get your brother, trying to get your sister in Christ too. All Satan wants to do is see a Christian just get torn down. Lose their testimony. Be nothing for Christ. We need to keep in prayer. It'll encourage us. It'll help us. When you're feeling down, pray. David encouraged himself in prayer. Secondly, I think David encouraged himself in song. Hey, he's a great psalmist. We know David's a musician. I believe David had a beautiful voice. I'd have loved to hear him sing. I will one day. We'll get to hear him sing in heaven. All right? But look in Ephesians chapter 5. Just for me, it's a page over. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, we sing songs here in church. And we don't sing songs just because, well, we need something to do. You know, we don't want to just have the preacher come up and preach. So hey, let's just sing a couple of songs. And that way it doesn't look too, it'll be a nice transition from, we'll sing a song and then, hey, we'll ask people to give in the offering. You know, we don't want to just come right out and ask for it. And then we'll sing another song. And that's to encourage you. You know, I've had many a time. I've come to church down and a little depressed. And then I start singing them hymns and man, I get encouraged. And you know, when someone comes and sings a special, you know, we say, hey, they're singing for the Lord. And yes, they are. But you know what? We get to listen to it. You ever been encouraged when you heard someone sing? I know I have. Man, it just singing is just something about it. Especially the hymns and the songs of the faith. They're songs of victory. They're songs of praise. Man, it just, yeah, it strengthens you. You know, maybe you got a CD in the car and you're driving down the road and you hear that music come on and you start singing with it and just you get encouraged. You get refreshed. Singing songs is good. I like that part in the end, though. It says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can sing without actually coming out of your mouth. You ever do that? I have. It's possible. Got a song in your heart? Now, I often find you got a song in your heart. It's going to come out in your mouth. It ain't going to stay in your heart too long. But man, if you got a song in your heart. I remember a story. I was working with a Christian, and we're on the job site working, and he's singing. I don't know what song he was singing, but he was singing some song, and he's just going along working. It was a Christian song. It was either a hymn or something. I don't know exactly what. Just praising Jesus is what he was doing in song. And one of our coworkers, lost guy, looks at him, why are you singing? He goes, huh? I got something to sing about. Amen. He's like, God, Jesus saved me. I don't remember his answer he gave me exactly, but basically he told me I got something to sing about. He says, you know, those songs you probably listen to on the radio, they ain't worth singing because there's nothing to sing about.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And the young kid went, huh? You got a point. Even the lost world understands that, you know what? Them songs you hear on the radio, they're just going to make you more down in the dumps. Whereas you got something to sing about, you'll sing it. And man, we have something to sing about. Jesus saved our soul. We're on our way to heaven. Man, what? Life's good. And God gives us even more blessings than just that. We got something to sing about. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Man, we can be a blessing to one another just in our song. You know, I encourage everybody, when congregational singing is happening, sing. You say, I don't have a good voice. It don't matter. God wants to hear it.
Amen.
And you don't know if your singing will be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
You say, I don't have a good voice. So what? Sometimes the volume of the music might be a blessing to someone. They might. We may have a visitor comes in and they hear the singing and they're going, wow, these folks like to sing.
Amen.
You always notice when people notice that you're singing, they know, well, you must have something to sing about. There must be a reason why you're singing. Well, why are you guys so happy? You know, happy people sing.
Amen.
Especially happy songs. So it's good. Hey, sing. Even if you don't have a good voice. Look, I ain't got a good voice. My favorite part of singing is congregational singing. Because I can sing as loud as I want. If you got a problem with it, then I'm going to tell you, sing louder.
Amen.
I did have that happen one time. I was in a camp, family camp. And I was sitting there singing, and a kid comes over to me and he goes, hey, can you quiet down? You don't sound too. You don't have a good singing voice. And he moved over, and at first I was like, oh, man. I was like 13, kind of down. I'm like, man, I'm like, wait a minute. You don't like my singing, man? Sing louder then. Because I couldn't hear him. I said, oh, forget this. I started singing louder. I said, you know what? You can move in the back of the auditorium. I don't care. Sing. That's what's great. You know what? I'll sing in the car. Nobody else has to hear it. God will hear it.
Amen.
You know, if God wanted us all to sing perfect, he would all have given us good voices to be able to do it, right? So honestly, my opinion, if you can't sing, then that's exactly what God wants to hear. You say, I can't hit the note. So what? It's music to God's ears.
That's right. Amen.
He wants to hear it. Sing. Imagine David, all right? Here he is about to get stoned. His men are getting stones. They're talking about it. And he starts humming a song. That's not there. I don't know, but imagine he starts humming a song. Hey, this guy, look at all the psalms he wrote.
Amen.
Those are songs. The Hebrews, they have music for all these.
Yes, sir.
Imagine him sitting there. Hey, he used to sing for Saul, played his harp and sing for him. All of a sudden, he just starts singing. And I'm like, is David singing? You know, that would really throw me off. If I was getting ready to throw a stone at a guy, and all of a sudden I look over and I hear him start singing, and it's a joyful song, and he's singing praises to God. He starts out humming, you know, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I'm going to start second guessing myself, like, are you okay? Why are you singing? David, why are you singing? Because he's got something to sing about, right? Because he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm sure the tune of the men, that started to change. And then hey, where's Abiathar? Let's get the ephod out. Come on. And the men are like, all right, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? He sang, I think. Then thirdly, what should we do? Let's remember God's previous blessings and victories in our life. Look, if you've been saved for very long, he's given you some victories and he's given you some blessings. Think back on them. Because, yeah, I know the times are tough, but he didn't just walk away from you. He's still here with you. He's still helping you. He still cares about you, so he didn't just walk away. And if you're a brand new Christian, you say, I've not been saved for very long. Well, you know what victory he just gave you? You're not going to hell. Amen. He gave you victory over hell. I said, all right, I paid that. I paid your debt. Amen. He wiped your sin debt clean, and now you're going to heaven. Amen. That's that right there is blessing and victory enough to get excited about. Go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is believed to be a psalm that David wrote the first time he went to Gath, to the Philistines. So when David first started running from Saul, he went down all by himself to Gath to try to get away, and he got nervous and realized, they're going to kill me. Because all the men of Gath went, wait a minute, isn't this the guy who killed Goliath? What's he doing here? Yeah. Guess where Goliath was from? Gath? Yeah, people aren't going to be too happy if you defeated their champion. And it had been there had been a space of time since then, but they didn't forget. And so David got scared. And here we've got some verses. This chapter, you read it and you see that, man, David was getting nervous because my enemies are coming after me. And look in verse 3. David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Then look down in verse 11. It says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. My vows are upon me, O God. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? I think David could look back and remember, hey, God took care of me during this time. God took care of me during this time. Hey, God gave me victory over that lion and that bear when I was just trying to protect the sheep of my father. God gave me victory over Goliath so we could get free, keep our people free. God gave me victory over here, and he gave me victory over here. He protected me from Saul. I think David started to think about the victories and the blessings that God had given him. You know what? When you get down, when you're getting discouraged, that's a real good time to think about, God, what have you done in my life? Amen. When have you taken care of me? Where are there some blessings? Because you know what? You start thinking about that stuff and you're going to go, I know this seems impossible, but I believe I can get through this. I believe this can be taken care of. I believe God can provide. You know, one of the biggest burdens on a lot of folks is financial burdens. When you start going, man, we got these bills, and how are we going to pay for it? Well, if you can look back at past victories and past blessings God's given to you, you can look at it and go, you know what? We'll get through this. I don't know how. And oftentimes I go, I don't know how this is going to happen, but God's going to have to take care of it because, you know what? I'm doing what I can to provide, and I've got this much means to work with, and my expenses are this much, and God, you're going to have to do something about it. And I find some often God doesn't repeat himself. I've had times where God gives me a blessing this way. And I think, well, maybe he'll do it like that again. No, he's going to do it this way instead. Another time he goes, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it different every time. He does it different. When you least, how you least expect it to happen. You know what? And then you start praising God and thanking him for those blessings and realizing, hey, he's going to take care of it. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, look at verse 20 and 21. It says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, if you start thinking about past blessings and past victories, you're going to start thanking God. Thanks, Lord, for that. Thanks for that. What's interesting is if we start thanking him, then it says submitting yourselves. I think if we can look back at, all right, God, you've blessed me here. You've given me victory here. I've seen you work here. Thanks for that. And now, you know what, Lord? I don't know why you had me going through this, but I'll accept it. Submission is being able to accept what's being handed to us. Look, did God know that that problem was going to come? Did God know that David's family was going to be taken away and that David was going to show up and then he's about to be stoned? He knew that was going to happen. Could God have prevented that? Of course he could have. He chose not to, though. He wanted David's men to go through that. And so David had to submit himself. Okay, all right, Lord, I'll go through this. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we can accept and submit to his will and realize, all right, Lord, you've got me going through this for a reason. Amen. And I know when you're going through it, it's not easy to thank him for it. It's hard. And the older you get, sometimes the harder it is because the harder the difficulty. But at some point, we need to be able to say, thanks, God. You know what you were doing. I don't always understand it. Look, some things happened this year to our family. I don't understand why God did it. I don't know. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. But I know, Lord, your will is perfect. You know exactly what you're doing. And you've got a plan. You've got a reason. And I just have to submit to it and say, okay, God, we'll keep serving you. I know you'll take care of us. So what was the end result of David? Go back to 1 Samuel 29. The end result of this problem was, well, he didn't get stoned, praise the Lord. Let's pick back up in verse 7. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. It says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. Then jump down to verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. You know what the end result was? David encouraged himself in the Lord, to which then he encouraged his men that were around him, which he had to. Look, he had to change the mind of that group before, if they were going to go after this troop, if they were going to figure out what to do next. He had to get them encouraged. He got his men encouraged. Then he received direction from the Lord. All right, God, what's next? What do we do? Then he and his men were able to see victory in their life. You know what? When troubles come, look, 2021, we're all hoping, hey, I hope it's not like 2020.
Amen.
But there's no guarantee. And there may be a whole new set of troubles and problems in 2021 that we aren't ready for. I don't know. It's a new year. But you know what? We can face them. And we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. And if we can encourage ourselves in the Lord, well, maybe we can encourage others around us. I find it's hard to be around a smiling person and keep a frown on my face. Brother Marion's grandkids came in tonight, and I was joking with them. You know, I know what it's like. Sometimes you just have a face on, and you know it looks kind of grumpy, but you don't mean anything by it. And I walked up to them, and I was kidding with them. I said, "All right, now listen here. This is a church. We don't smile around. All right." And immediately, what do? They start grinning at me. They're doing it right now. Some of them are grinning at me because they remember. They couldn't help but smile. They knew I was joking with them because I was doing it and just playing around. But if you have a grumpy face and you're around someone who's smiling, you're either going to get really mad and leave, or you're eventually going to start smiling too. Especially if they're praising the Lord and they're singing and they're giving reasons to be thankful for and praise God. And it's kind of hard to stay grumpy around those people. Encourage others around us. Hey, that's why this is why I love coming to church. I love coming to church because, hey, if I'm discouraged, man, I hope I can get encouraged.
Amen.
And if I'm encouraged, I want to be a blessing and encourage other people. That's why we can't have everybody coming and going, "How's your week?" "Oh, man, it's going horrible. Horrible." Oh, we got to be able to encourage one another. And hopefully by the time we get to the singing, all right, we can start, all right, hey, I got something to sing about. Yep. God's been good. Give me blessings. Saved my soul. Gave me a home in heaven. I got, all right. And you know what? If we're all singing together, we're gonna encourage one another. And when, man, it makes it a lot easier to go back out there and face the world again, right? You know what else? We have some direction in our life from God, though. See, if you just stay down in the dumps and discouraged, you're not going to go to God and say, "What do I do next, God? Because I'm going to stay here and have my pity party, right? Don't try to encourage me." No, if you try to encourage yourself in the Lord, you're going to, "Okay, God, what's next? What do you want me to do?" You'll get direction from God. And then, just like David saw victories, you'll see victories again. You'll see blessings again. God doesn't, we get valleys, but God doesn't keep us in valleys. He brings us back up out of those valleys. You'll see the sun again, right? It'll shine. You won't stay down in that valley. God will bring you back up. So in this new year, hey, stay encouraged. And if you have to do it by yourself, then get encouraged in the Lord. It can be done. Hey, if David can do it without no Holy Spirit and not no Bible, we can do it. We can do it. Keep encouraged. Keep serving God. And folks, we'll see you in 2021. And hopefully we'll see you right here on January 3rd in 2021.
Yes, sir.
Let's bow and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you that we have a God that encourages us and gives us ways to stay encouraged and keep serving you and keep trying to live for you. God, we thank you for the examples in Scripture that we have. And Lord, I just ask you to be with our church. Continue to give us direction as we try to serve you and help us in this new year, that we would stay encouraged individually and that we'd encourage one another. And God, just continue to protect our church and help us to be a light to this community and those that are lost. And we do our best to try to get the gospel out there. In Jesus' name, amen.